thousands of souls in purgatory are waiting to be delivered at your local abandoned cemeteries, and we will especially free them in this Jubilee 2025, which is all about being free from debt. We're going to talk about that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. So my observation of the 2025 Jubilee is that there's not much interest in it. It seems like there is a little bit, but there should be a lot more. And I don't know if that's about the logo or the theme or the little cartoon character or whatever. But whatever is the case, and maybe people are interested in it. But the other day I heard a homily that was talking about Jubilees, that they're all about freedom from debt, being delivered of debts that are owed at the time of the time of Jesus. It was to landlords, from slaves, and all types of other debts. And immediately as he spoke that, I got the idea for this video that this Jubilee, really, we should make it about the souls in purgatory. Now, when you go to cemeteries, especially that are abandoned, and you pray for the people that are there, when those souls are freed from purgatory and enter heaven, it will literally transform the cemetery. Now, my wife and I did this. Now, it may have been coincidence, but we found a hidden cemetery near our house. And when I first found it with my wife, we would go there just a few times. We didn't even go that much. And we would go and we would pray. And then afterwards, we would pray for them. And I sort of felt kind of attached to it because there was someone there who I think he had either been born or had died on my birthday, but 100 years ago. And so I just kept praying, and we kept praying for those souls in purgatory. And initially that cemetery literally was abandoned. It had a chain link fence with just shrubs growing on it. There wasn't even really an entrance. No one knew that it was there. And shortly after we began praying for it, the place was sort of remodeled. They put this big black gate. They took down the branches so that everyone can see it. They put kind of like a more formal entrance. It was literally transformed. And I told my wife, you know, I think it's because we were praying for these souls in purgatory. Now, I'm not the only one to think about this. I'm actually going to read to you from a selection from Anne Catherine Emmerich that she literally describes this phenomenon. And as I'm reading to you from Anne Catherine Emmerich, this is a challenge that I want you to kind of keep in mind. I want you for this Jubilee 2025 to commit, first of all, to finding an abandoned cemetery nearby you, and then to going there either once a day, once a week, or once a month, or some sort of interval of your choosing, and then to commit to praying for those souls and for you to proclaim freedom to the captives, because that's what Jesus did when he was proclaiming his Jubilee, when he preached in the temple. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to be other Christ to others, and specifically to the souls in purgatory. Now let's get right into the selection from Anne Catherine Emmerich. One day, after a conversation on the relations existing between the survivors and the deceased, the pilgrim wrote down the following, which embodies the salient points of their discussion. All that man thinks, says, or does has in it a living principle for good or evil. He who sins should hasten to efface his faults by the sacrament of penance. Otherwise, he will not be able to prevent the full or partial consequence of his crime. I have often seen such consequence even in the physical sickness and sufferings of many individuals and in the curse attached to certain places. I am always told that a crime unpardoned, unexpiated, entails an infinity of evils. I have seen such chastisements extending to posterity as a natural and necessary consequence, for instance, a curse attached to ill-gotten goods, and I have felt involuntary horror in places where great crimes were once perpetrated. This is as natural, as necessary, as that a benediction should bless, and what is holy sanctify. I have always had an intuitive perception of what is sacred and what is profane, of what is holy and what unholy. The former attracts me, the latter repels, disquiets, and terrifies me, forcing me to resist it by faith and prayer. This impression is especially keen near human remains, nay, more, near the smallest atoms of a body once animated by a soul. The feeling is so strong that I have always thought there exists a certain relation between soul and body even after death, for I felt the most opposite emotions near graves and tombs. Near some I have had a sensation of light, of superabundant benediction and salvation, by others a sentiment of poverty and indigence. And I felt that the dead implored prayers, fasts, and alms. By many others, I have been struck with dread and horror. When I had to pray at night in the cemetery, I have felt that there brooded around such graves as the last named a darkness deeper and blacker than night itself, just as a hole in a black cloth makes the blackness still deeper. Over the night, I sometimes saw a black vapor rising that made me shudder. It also happened sometimes that when my desire to render assistance urged me to penetrate into the darkness, I felt something repulsing my proffered aid. The lively conviction of God's most holy justice was then for me like an angel leading me out from the horrors of such a grave. Over some I saw a column of gray vapor, brighter or darker, over others one of light, more or less brilliant, and over many others I beheld nothing at all. These last made me very sad, for I had an interior conviction that the vapor, more or less brilliant, issued from the graves was the means by which the poor souls made known their needs, and that they who could give no sign were in the lowest part of purgatory, forgotten by everybody, deprived of all power of acting or communicating with the body of the church. When I knelt in prayer over such graves, I often heard a hollow, smothered voice as if calling to me from a deep abyss, "Help me out." And I felt most keenly in my own soul the anguish of the helpless sufferer. I pray for these abandoned, forgotten ones with great ardor and perseverance than for the others. I have often seen a gray vapor slowly rising over their empty, silent tombs, which by the help of continued prayer grew brighter and brighter. The graves over which I saw columns of vapor, more or less bright, were shown me as those of such as are not entirely forgotten, not entirely bound, who by their own expiatory sufferings or the help of their friends are more or less consoled. They have still the power to give a sign of their participation in the communion of saints. They are increasing in light and beatitude. They implore that help they cannot render themselves, and what we do for them, they offer to our Lord for us. They remind me of poor prisoners who can still excite the pity of their fellow men by a cry, a petition, an outstretched hand. A cemetery, such as I have described, with its apparitions, its different degrees of light and darkness, always seemed to me like a garden, all parts of which are not equally cultivated, but some allowed to run rank. When I earnestly prayed and labored and urged others to do the same, it seemed as if the plants began to revive, as if the ground were dug and renewed, as if the seeds sprang forth under the beneficent influence of the rain and dew. If all men saw this as I see it, they would surely labor in this garden with far more diligence than I. Such cemeteries speak as plainly to me of the Christian zeal and charity of a parish, as do the gardens and meadows around a village proclaim the industry of its inhabitants. God has allowed me to see souls mounting joyously from purgatory to paradise, but nothing is accomplished without pain and trouble. So too, when praying for the dead, I was frequently terrified and maltreated by lost spirits, even by the demon himself. Loud noises and frightful specters surrounded me. I was pushed off the graves, tossed from side to side, and sometimes an invisible power tried to force me out of the cemetery. But God strengthened me against fear. I never recoiled one hair's breadth before the enemy. And when thus interrupted, I redoubled my prayers. Oh, how many thanks I have received from the poor dear souls. If all men would share this joy with me, what a superabundance of grace is upon earth, but forgotten, despised, while the poor souls languish for it. In their manifold blessings, they are full of anguish and longing. They sigh after help and deliverance. Yet however great their distress, they still praise our Lord and Savior, and all that we can do for them is a source of unending bliss. So here's a challenge for the Jubilee 2025. I want you to find a local abandoned cemetery as sort of the ones that she's describing here. And I want you to commit to it, to pray there, as I mentioned before, either daily, weekly, or monthly. You're choosing whatever you want to do, either a rosary or a chaplet, something that seems appropriate. May I suggest a chaplet of St. Gertrude? Commit to it. And you will see that as that cemetery is delivered, something will change in it, not just spiritually. Now, don't tell other people that you're doing it, because I want you to stand back and see what God's grace does in a place when people are in purgatory and are brought to heaven. The very place will change, just like what we experienced with my wife and I, that somehow people are now inspired to go take care of the cemetery. All this, the same will happen wherever it is that you go, because it's a jubilee year, and it's a year of being freed from debt, where we are meant to go and proclaim freedom and deliverance to captives, especially the souls in purgatory.